Okay. Are you ready now?
We're ready. I'm dying to hear this piece of audio that you've been teasing all afternoon. Yeah. And
it's the Top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Now home of the Edge Kitchen and Bath Showroom.
It's the Top 5 on the Rokan Show. Let's go!
Checking in at
number 5.
President Obama has met with the families of those killed in the Orlando shootings over the weekend. Mm-hmm. Shooting over the weekend. There was a makeshift memorial that has been presented there. Vice President Biden was at his side. Mm-hmm. They left 49 bouquets of white roses for each of the deceased and paused for a moment of silence.
Today, we are reminded of what is good, that there is compassion and empathy and decency, and most of all, there is love. These families could be our families. In fact, they are our family. They're part of the American family.
So sad.
But then he pivoted and started talking about this battle on Capitol Hill over gun law changes.
The notion that the answer to this tragedy would be to make sure that more people in a nightclub are similarly armed to the killer defies common sense.
Well, alcohol and guns don't mix, right? I mean, I don't think it's a very good idea to have anybody in a nightclub having guns. You could have armed guards.
But are you allowed to have concealed weapons in Florida?
Yeah, but I don't think you're supposed to drink when you have a concealed weapon on you. I think that's one of the rules of the concealed carry law, isn't it?
I would think so. I mean, it makes perfect sense. If you're drinking, you're partying at 1 and 2 in the morning, you kind of hope there aren't a whole bunch of people carrying.
Yeah.
If they're under the influence, right? But I guess the security guard there was armed.
So I mean, everybody packing is not an answer. It's not a sensible answer. It's a cartoon answer. It's a fantasy answer. It's a movie answer. It's something that happens to John McClane in Die Hard. It's not something that happens in reality, in real life. That's a weird fantasy on some people's parts, I think, to have everybody armed and then everything is going to be just fine.
I think it's just the search for answers, and it's so difficult to figure it out, how this guy could have fell through the cracks, was already flagged by the FBI, but there wasn't enough to continue to flag him. And you just start going backwards and saying, well, what if this, what if that? How can you prevent these things from happening?
Checking in at
number 4.
Donald Trump says that he would receive North Korea's dictator, Kim Jong-un, for a visit to the United States. And again, rejected criticism about that.
South Korea. I love South Korea. I have buildings in South Korea. I've done jobs in South Korea. It's great. We have right now 28,000 soldiers on the line between North and South. 28,000 soldiers. They pay us peanuts. Peanuts. And every time he acts up from North Korea, he acts up. You know, he has his little fits. Okay? He acts up. And every time he acts up, South Korea says, oh. And we start sending our ships, our planes, or this, or that, right? They pay us peanuts compared to the cost of this.
This is like the person who won't shut up at your family dinner. And this is the guy who's running for president of the United States.
We actually now have Republican security administration officials and former officials now backing Hillary Clinton because of these types of issues and where he stands on important foreign policy issues and national security issues.
Okay, hold on.
And then one of the papers called the other day, and they said, would you speak to the leader of North Korea? I said, absolutely. Why not? Why not? And they come out, Trump would speak to him. Who the hell cares? I'll speak to anybody. Who knows? There's a 10% or a 20% chance that I can talk him out of those damn nukes, because who the hell wants him to have nukes? And there's a chance. I'm only going to make a good deal for us. But there's a chance.
That means there's a 90% chance the guy's going to launch a nuke on us in that conversation.
It's, I just, you know, what is it, like 70 years of U.S. foreign policy he just reversed right there just on the time? I don't know. It just, it feels like when he talks, those words matter about these kinds of issues. And it just, my God.
That sounded like an excerpt from Saturday Night Live, someone imitating Donald Trump.
Like it couldn't be
true. Because that's how over the top he was.
Right. Then here's Paul Ryan. He's standing up there today. What about his decision? He wants to talk to North Korea, have more for dinner. How about that?
He said not an official state dinner, but he would do. Yeah, I'm over.
What about that? And Paul Ryan's like, you know, look at the time. Oh my gosh, I've got that thing. I've got that. Oh, you know what? I gotta go. Oh, my wife's calling. Hold on, honey. Honey, I'll be right there. Okay. Oh, yeah, milk. Yeah. Okay, bye.
One of them insulted each other's ego. Imagine what consequences
right.
that would have.
Yeah, I know. That's the kind
I don't
of,
like his hair.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, between the two of them.
Yeah, it's hair club not to
for,
like.
Hair club for dictators between the two of them. All right, wait, there's one. There's, now here he is about Hillary Clinton.
And Hillary said he would deal with this dictator. You know, I give me a break. Oh, you know what? I know they've been doing it a long time, folks. They are rank amateurs, okay? Hillary is a rank amateur.
Well, I wouldn't throw that stone right now in that glass house. He basically, you know, there's an entire reality to diplomacy in a situation like this. You do not want to elevate him, which Trump just did. I mean, basically, he must be contained. And that's a problem that the Chinese and the North Koreans, the South Koreans deal with mm-hmm. every day. The Japanese deal with every day. The Russians deal with every day because he sits, you know, in proximity to those places and he does have nuclear capability. And the guy is unhinged.
It's a dangerous combo.
Okay, good plan. Excellent plan. Yeah, bring him on over. There's a 10% chance I can talk him out of it. I got to tell you, back in 2008, remember, you know, President Obama was doing the same thing when he was running. He was like, now look. I can talk to these terrorists. They're only terrorists because they're mad at us because we invaded Iraq. And I can talk them out of it. It'd be just fine. And he was he wrong about that? Yes, he was.
Boy, was he. Yeah.
Yes, he was. And is Donald Trump as wrong and dangerously wrong as one could possibly imagine? Yes!
You just get the sense he hasn't really thought through all this stuff at all. And he's now at the point where he is the presumptive nominee for president of the United States right. of America for the Republican Party. And he needs to think through these things. I mean, it gets to be dangerous at some point.
This idea of negotiating with everybody that he's mm-hmm. got, that everything's in negotiation, everything is not a negotiation. And South Korea is not going to look at that as a negotiation. They don't want to negotiate. They don't want to get overrun. The North has everybody's in the military or in some sort of prison in North Korea, right? Those are the two jobs you can have. You're either a prisoner in a death camp or you're in the military. They would be overrun in a matter of minutes in South Korea by the North Koreans. The fact that the United States stands in the way is a big, big, big deal. And do you want the North Korea? Do you imagine what the economic impact of having South Korea invaded? South Korea is one of the largest economies in the world now, in large part thanks to us and the automobile industry and heavy and you know, all that other heavy industry, too. And he gets all mad about Trump does about this idea because he's got friends who were at, you know, in the American businesses of large vehicle manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, at Harvester and places like that, the big companies that do this and Caterpillar and I get it. And they feel like they're getting screwed over by some Korean companies, but that doesn't mean you give up on Korea. You're the president of the United States. You're not the president of Caterpillar. If you're the president of Caterpillar, then fine. Then you can be mad about it, but that's not how that goes. And I love Caterpillar. Fine Illinois company.
Yes.
I'm like Trump now. I love him. Okay? I'm having him over for dinner. We'll have some dim sum.
I don't think he knows about
that.
That's
not
even
Chinese.
At the Trump Tower?
Yeah. I've got some of the finest Korean chefs you'll ever find. What is Korean food? All right, three, your two, and the one that we've all been waiting for.
One more thing. We got this week on Chicago's Best. Brittany and Elliot are on the hunt for the best baseball bites. Tune in to Chicago's Best Sunday night at 10, WGN-TV.
I got a $50 gift certificate to Builder Supply Outlet in Broadview.
One of those.
It's Broadview.
Broadview.
Broadview. All right, top 5 continues. Checking in at
number three.
Man says he was denied entrance to a Chicago pizza restaurant because of his clothing, which included a pair of what he says $250 pants. That did not meet the eatery's dress code. Antar Jackson filed a discrimination complaint against Parlor Pizza.
That's in my neighborhood. I know that place.
The complaint alleges that Jackson went to the restaurant with his wife around 7:30 at night for dinner and was told by the guard to leave.
I asked him why, and he told me because they were too street. We saw people in yoga pants, baggy cargo shorts, baseball caps. And at that point in time, we decided that we wanted to go back and talk to a manager. So their dress code policy says no athletic gear. At no point in time will you find me doing anything athletic in a pair of wool pants.
Do you believe you were singled out because of your race?
I do. You go from feeling kind of bewildered to feeling shocked, to then feeling embarrassed. And then at some point in time, you start to kind of blame yourself. Like, hey, did I do something wrong? And then you get angry.
Yeah, you know what you did wrong? You paid $250 for pants.
No, but come on. I've been to this place. It's an extremely casual place. I mean, you never dress up. It's not the kind of place you'd go to dress up. You know, you wouldn't wear a suit. If you were in a suit, you'd look funny in this place. It would be odd.
All right.
So that's too bad that happened, that guy.
All right, checking in at
number two.
All week, Dean Richards has been talking about the stars of much-anticipated Finding Dory. Ellen DeGeneres brings back the voice of spacey little bluefish, Dory, in what will possibly be one of the biggest movies of the year. Mm. But much of the chatter about the film right now is of the three-second scene in the trailer featuring two women in a park rumored to be lesbians. Dean Richards asks,
it's so funny because I heard the rumor and I'm like, I didn't notice that, you know, and so then I looked for it and it's just it's two women and one woman has short hair. I just, you know, maybe their husbands were off getting ice cream or something, you know, and she just happens to have short hair and maybe it is a lesbian couple. I don't know what it is, but I just don't think you should assume every woman with short hair is a lesbian.
Right.
I think the rule there is that.
Interesting that that's still such a focal point.
Yeah, because right, it would be a big deal. I mean, if it is intentional, I think it would be a huge deal for the first time to actually. But it's not like it's showcased. It's like there are people walking all over the park.
A blink
everywhere.
Of an eye, really.
I know.
Right?
Yeah. But, you know, whoever started that, yeah. I guess it got a conversation going.
Right. Yeah, boy, do they. There's a whole bunch of headlines out about that, but I'm glad to hear Ellen weigh in on it.
And finally,
here we go. This is the one we've been waiting
number
for.
Number one.
Our friend Brett Baer, Fox News Channel, special report. He sat down with the Dalai Lama this week, and the things were going great. And it was a wide-ranging interview. And,
I bet.
He asked the Dalai Lama to weigh in on the presidential race.
I think American people, I think, have this sort of ability to judge. So you will choose your leader, I think, the right kind of person.
Right kind of person. Mm-hmm. I do hear how sort of, you know, he's tranquil, right?
He is.
And
like,
on the misunderstanding of this argument about Islam and Islamic terrorists, and he says that those terrorists are not practitioners of Islam. Islam is...
And Islam teach the practice of love when they pray to Allah. You see, the Allah consider, you see, infinite love.
Mm-hmm. What is that? I didn't quite hear.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
It's something beautiful, right?
Oh, right. Like, it's just
he's talking about Allah and about when you pray to
understanding different people.
Right. Praying to Allah, and it's about love. It's about love. That's what he's saying.
Okay, but then he asked him something else.
But then Brett Baer decides, hey, I've gotten a lot of really great stuff out of this interview, and I'm going to go someplace where no one in America has ever gone.
Hey.
Last thing. Have you ever seen the movie Caddyshack?
What?
Caddyshack, the movie?
I don't know.
You don't know the movie?
I don't know.
The part about the Dalai Lama. Have you ever played golf?
No.
You're not a big hitter?
Then Batman.
But not golf?
No.
There's a classic movie called Caddyshack where they talk about the Dalai Lama.
I see.
I had to ask you about it.
I don't know.
Well, thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
Very appreciate it. Thank you.
Awkward.
The Dalai Lama cannot get his microphone off.
He's like, okay, get this done.
He's like, okay.
He almost got angry there.
Oh, yeah, he did.
And he's not supposed to get angry.
The Dalai Lama's like, what are you talking about? First of all, you know the Dalai Lama's been asked that question before.
You think?
A billion people have seen that movie.
I thought people would just not, of course, but I just would think that people, when they have the opportunity to be in his presence for a few moments, that might not come out.
Are you kidding? No one has ever asked him that question.
Last thing. Have you ever seen the movie Caddyshack?
What?
Have you ever played golf? No.
Wait, I love it. What?
What?
And
he goes,
what?
Goodbye.
Yeah, right. Because the whole rest of the interview was all just being like, you know.
You could feel.
Like, and we will change the world through love and everything will be just fine. And he doesn't, where he's like cute and he was talking about America and about immigrants. And he goes, everybody in America is an immigrant. And he starts to laugh. And then is it, hey, you've ever seen Caddyshack? What? Hey.
It was a very strong way he said it.
I'm a man of peace here, pal.
What?
What? There's a tinge of angriness on that. There, I mean, you could
goodbye. Goodbye.
No.
Oh my God.
And he asks me, he plays golf. He says, no, badminton.
Oh my, right, exactly. You played it. No, are you a big hitter?
Badminton.
That's a line from the movie. Oh, the guy that was quite. He's a big hitter. Uh-huh. So here's Brett going through all the lines from Caddyshack. You're a big hitter.
Yeah, you're right. He's trying. He's trying to tease it out of him.
Gunga, gulunga, gunga.
But he did not. He didn't go there.
Yeah.
How about a little something for the effort?
Right. Llama. You know, she did a llama. Oh, my God.
And he didn't tip him? Wasn't that part of it?
Right.
He's going to stiff me.
He offered him.
Say, hey, llama, how about a little something for the effort?
A little something for the effort. And he says, you know, and when you die, you will have eternal happiness.
What?
What?
You see, total consciousness.
And total consciousness, right?
I wonder if he felt that he was going to lose it, so he had to get up.
It
seemed like he was like quickly, like he was moving there. I was like, okay, we are done.
I got to ask you that. You know, I would have done it too. I would have done it too. I would have done the same thing. You know, llama, since I got you.
Yeah, right. Since you're here.
Yeah, and I would have the same answer.
What?
What? What? I've never heard that out of the Dalai Lama.
No one ever has.
Didn't know that existed.
Do the what with the slow clap.
The Dalai Lama saying what with the Trump supporter slow clap?
Yeah, we can't do that.
Yeah. Okay,
don't ask for things we can't do.
It
doesn't work like that. Yeah, it takes it. So you can't just, we don't just have buttons for that. That's why we have production meetings.
What?
Meeting on the air.
Got it.
Exactly.
Goodbye.
What?
What? Can you just play the question again? I'll play the question one more time. It is precious.
It is.
Last thing. Have you ever seen the movie Caddyshack?
What?
Caddyshack, the movie. You don't know the movie?
I don't know.
The part about the Dalai Lama? Have you ever played golf?
No.
You're not a big hitter?
Then Batman.
But not golf?
No.
There's a classic movie called Caddyshack.
I don't care.
Where they talk about the Dalai Lama.
I see.
I had to ask you about it.
I don't know.
Well, thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Get me out of here. You get a sense if there was a smile on his face that it was totally gone at that moment.
I didn't see it. Well, you see it in the interview. You said, why didn't they send Bill O'Reilly? You know, that's almost the question that you're... I will talk to Anderson Cooper next. And so like, I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay, let's just wrap this thing up. But I love, you know, Brett is a very dear friend, and I love him, and I love the fact that he asked the question, but it just didn't go well.
The top five at five.